We begin the current daf, Masechta Kedushin, daf Chaf Aleph. We begin three lines down from the top of the Yamin, where the Gemara continues the discussion from the previous daf. And the Gemara opens up with Simon and the Manik for the following discussion, which are the names of the Amiram, are Cheresh, Chavash, and Zman. As we'll see that it's not related to a Cheresh, but rather like Amar of Acha Berei de Ravel or of Ashi, where if you take the Ches of Acha, the Resh of Rava, and the Shin of Ashi, you get Cheresh. So it's just mnemonic, which was the memory tool to remember the discussion of this Gemara. But the Gemara is a continuation from the previous daf's discussion. That is, we had to actually start off with a mnemonic on the previous daf, which is the first of the wide lines that said Simon, the mnemonic for the following discussion, which continues until Amud Beis on our daf, was Eved and Bayis, regarding a slave and a house in Bati Arachayma regarding Chatzoin, about redeeming it halfway, and Bayis Eved, the halacha is regarding a house in a walled city and a slave regarding Karevim, regarding redeeming through relatives. And that's because we're discussing the halachas of Eved. So the same two questions apply to an Eved and to a Bayis in Arachayma, a house in a walled city. If you could redeem it halfway, and if you can redeem it through relatives, which we'll discuss in our daf. Now, regarding the question of can you redeem a house halfway, Rav Sheshes had answered that question, and he said that one can learn from Rav Shimon's opinion that one can most definitely do that. Which the Gemara had asked a question from a Braisa that seemed to contradict it, which is on the bottom line on the previous daf, that said, proving from Bati Arichayma that has strong strength that you could redeem it right away, you don't have to wait a certain amount of time, and still you cannot be loved v'goyel v'goyel chatzayin, which we'll discuss in a second what the Braisa was bringing that in for. But one thing that you saw from the Braisa is not like Rav Sheshes had answered, because you see that clearly by Bati Arichayma you cannot be goyel chatzayin. The Gemara answer, it's not like a difficulty, it's actually machlekes Rabban Rav Shimon. Rav Sheshes, who had answered the question that was posed to him, was answering according to Rav Shimon's opinion. And this bride is going like Rabban, who actually hold by Bati Rechaima, one cannot be goyil lechatzon. That was the discussion. Now, that's where our Gemara continues and says, Ikala Mifrach. Ravacha Bered the Rav is asking Ravashi, there's a difficulty in that brisa. The purpose of that brisa was discussing if someone redeems, if someone's makdish asteachuza. So the Pasuk says, Imgol Yugol, which sounds like an extra redemption, which tells you, according to the Braisa, that he could borrow and redeem, and he could also redeem his field that he had sanctified to Hekdesh halfway. Now, the Braisa says, why do I need a Pasuk? So the Braisa says, because I would have thought from a Kavuchayma that actually would not be like this, because if regarding someone that sells his Steachuza, not like the case of the Pasuk, which is being Makdesh Steachuza, he sold it to somebody else, which has the upper hand, this type of seller. Because if the Yevil year comes around, he didn't redeem it yet. So it automatically goes back to the owner. And still he has the weaker hand that he cannot redeem halfway and he cannot borrow and redeem. So I would have thought to say that, so regarding sanctifying, being Makdash Yisteachuzah, which has the lower hand because actually when the Yevil year comes around, he didn't redeem it, it does not come back to him. It actually goes to the Kahanim. So isn't it for sure that he would also have the lower hand, just like Meicher Yisteachuzah, that he cannot borrow and redeem halfway? Which the Braisa says, no. Because in regards to someone who sells his Steachuza, he has the lower hand in a different area in regards to redeeming right away. He can't redeem right away. He has to wait 2 years before he buys it back from who he sold it to. Whereas by Makdish, where he could redeem right away, therefore I would say that actually you don't need a Pasuk and he could redeem halfway. So that's what the Braisa says. That, no, the reason why you need the Pasuk to say that it could redeem it halfway is because you could prove from someone who sells a house in Bati Arachayma, who what you're considering a strength of Makdish over Meicher is not really true. Because we say that even by someone that wants to buy back his house in Arichayma, he could redeem it right away, and still he cannot borrow and redeem halfway. So you see, that's not enough of an element to give you strength to be able to redeem it halfway. So then therefore, again, you would still learn from a Kavuchayma of Meicher to Makdish that you cannot redeem it halfway. That's why the Braisa says that you need that's why you need the Pasuk. Girl, you go. The extra word you go tells you that there is the halacha of redeeming even more than generally, which you could do it halfway when you're coming to redeem the field that you were born Makdish that was a Steachuza. Now, this is what the question is being posed on over here. The Braisa says that you need to have a Pasuk for someone that's Makdish a Steachuza, and that you could borrow and redeem, and you could redeem it halfway. The problem and the reason why is because we said, because or else you would have known from a Kavuchayma when you sell a bias in a Yerchayma where there it has that same strength that a Makdish purportedly has, and he cannot be live of a gut. Therefore you need to have a Pasuk. That asks Rav Acha Ber the Rav, Ravashi, But wait a second. What are you proving from there? That, oh, he has the same strength as you and still he cannot redeem it halfway. So therefore you need a pasuk. Without that, you wouldn't know it. But what you find by when you sell a house, about the Erechayma, Shkenhura koichili goy la'olam, but he has a lower hand in a different area, which is after the first year after he had sold it, he's never allowed to redeem it ever again. So maybe over there you say that, okay, he has a weaker hand in another area, that's why he can't redeem it halfway and he can't borrow and redeem. Taimi b'makdish, but how are you going to compare that to the some of this makdish de'achuza, Shiyafa koichili goy la'olam, where he has an upper hand, where he could redeem up until the olam, meaning not forever, but up until the yevul year, if in the interim the gizber, the one that's in charge of hektish, did not sell his field, because it only gets split to the kahana by the yevul year. So we're really back to the question: why does the brayso say that you need to have a pasuk and go to say that when you makdish de'achuza, you could borrow and redeem? Why do you need a pasuk for? Oh, kavochemer de'achuza. No kavochemer, because something that is a strength the makdish has that a meicher doesn't have, which is that he could redeem it right away. Oh, so the Braitha says no, but you see, Bater Yechema has that strength, and still he cannot borrow and redeem. So that's what Rav Acha Bered the Rav is asking, but wait a second. But that's because Bater Yechema has a different Hura Koyche, has a lower hand, in regards to after the first he can't redeem it ever again, which is not the case by Makdish. So why do we need a Pasuk? So Amli Rav Acha Sabal Rav Ashi, he says, Shum the Ikala Meima Nahadadin, because we could say, oh, now let's go back and see that it will be included in the Kavo Chaymer, why you would think that you would not be able to borrow and redeem. Because Taysa B'mahatzad, let's go to the common denominator of the two elements we brought down. Meicher Ste'achuz Yechiach, because selling the ancestral field will disprove this area, which is Shiyafa Koyech L'Goy L'Olam, because when you sell an ancestral field, you could buy it back up until the Yevil year, and actually by the Yevil year, it actually goes back to the owner without having to pay anything. And yet still, and he cannot borrow and redeem, and he cannot redeem it halfway. So therefore, I would also include being makdish de'achuza. Because what are you saying makdish has over but the arachayma? Oh, because he can redeem it forever. But that obviously is not an element why you could be able to do this, of borrowing and redeeming and doing it halfway, because meichus de'achuza has it, and it also cannot. That's why the Brayson needed a pasukim gol yigol, to say that you could borrow and redeem by a makdish de'achuza. But still, the Gemara persists in the questioning of the Braisa. Mala Moiches De'achuza, what do you have by when you sell an ancestral field? Shekin Hayru Koyech L'Gol Miyad. Where, okay, but he has a weaker hand over there that he can't redeem right away, has to wait 2 years. In contrast to the Halach of Makdish, so maybe that upper hand would say that he could and I wouldn't need a pasuk. So then you go back to the other one. Well, Moicher Bais about the Arachayim Yechiach. The other element will disprove when you sell a house in the walled city, where here he could redeem it right away, and yet still he cannot borrow and redeem. So B'chazadin, so goes back and forth. The specific attributes and characteristics of each one is not like the other one. But Atzara Shavash Abehen, what's the common denominator of the two of them, of when you sell a Ste'achuza and a Bayis Bot Erechema? Shenigalin, that they could be redeemed. Ve'ein Loive V'goye V'goye L'chatzayin, and you cannot borrow and redeem it. You cannot redeem it halfway. Afin the Avi Makdish, therefore I would have included the halacha being makdish, steachuza, shenigal, that it, yes, the halacha of redemption applies to it, but ve'ein leiv v'goy v'goy l'chatzayin, and that you cannot borrow and redeem, and you cannot redeem it halfway. That's why the Braisa said that you need to have a pasuk. Now, on this, the Gemara still asks, omle marzutra beridra of Marila Ravina, ikla mefrach, you could still ask even on the mahatzad, even on the tzara shavash abehen. Because mala tzara shavash abehen, still, what do you find by the common denominator of a meiches de'achuza and a bayis ba'bat erechayma? Shekin hayra koicham legal b'shar shnia. Both of them, coming from different directions, cannot redeem in the second year after they had sold it. Because when you're meiches de'achuza, the seller can never buy it back up until the third year. Whereas when you're selling by a bat erechayma, you could only buy it back in the first year. So it comes out neither one of these could redeem in the second year. So maybe by them you cannot borrow and redeem, and you can't redeem halfway. Taimba b'makdish, but how are you going to compare that? What you're trying to say is a kavo chaymer. By makdish, that he wouldn't be able to be goyil l'chatzoyin and borrow and be goyil, shiyapa koichay l'gol b'shon ha'shni. He's the only one that has this strength of redeeming even in the second year, because he could do it right away up until the evil year. So maybe over there, I would say that he could be love of a girl and girl at sign. So there you're back to the question, why does the Braisa require a pasig? Because you're saying kavochemer that he should not be able to. It's not true. There is no such kavochemer because they have something unique that lowers them versus the makdish. So Ravina answers, Mishum de ikal meim, because you could respond to this question, Ever ivri hanimka lo evik achav miyichyach. Regarding a Jewish slave that sold to a non-Jew, will disprove this. Why? He could redeem himself right away, up until the Yebel when he automatically gets freed by himself. So in the second year, he could redeem himself. And he cannot borrow and redeem, and he cannot redeem halfway, which, as this was taught on the previous daf, where it says, v'nigal, which he's redeemed, which says, the whole him has to redeem and not halfway. He can't redeem himself halfway. And so too that he cannot borrow and redeem because the pasuk says, Oihi siga. Or if he attains his own money, which means to say he cannot borrow to redeem himself. He has to have made the money himself. And again, that's the Gemara's conclusion for the Braisa, which was brought in as a question on Rav Sheshes, his halacha, regarding the question we'd posed in the previous daf, why you need to have a pasuk where... The reason why is because you would have thought it would be including the kavuchemer from moichers de'achuzah, moicher bais b'derechemer, and ivrihanim kol ha'akim, where seemingly they would have all the milas, all the attributes of a makdash de'achuzah, and still they cannot be love of a girl and girl lachatzayin. Therefore, we needed an extra word yigal to say that this is unique by makdash de'achuzah, that it could be love of a girl and girl lachatzayin. Now the Gemara continues with this line of questioning, which we started on the previous daf. Someone that sells a house in a walled city. So we spoke about the first two elements, which were evident bias of Arichaim regarding Chatzayin. Now we move on to the next two cases, which is if someone sells a house in a walled city, nigal likreivim, could it be redeemed through relatives, meaning with against the will of the purchaser, meaning even though he doesn't want to sell it to them, they could forcefully buy it back from him. Whereas we find by an ancestral field where it says it says by the Steachuza that not only the one who sold it to him could forcibly buy it back, but even his relatives. Or do we say that no, by the Bati Erechema, it cannot be forcibly bought back by the relatives of the seller. So the Gemara explains the question. Do we say that it says the word his redemption by the ancestral field? And it says his redemption by the Bati Erechema. Just like by the ancestral field, where it cannot be redeemed halfway. But it could be redeemed through relatives. Here also, as Rash explains, that the Gemara is going according to the opinion of the Rabbanan, who they say that regarding the Bat Arichayim, it cannot be redeemed halfway. So we should say that, we learn it completely from Steachuzah, again in contrast to Reb Shimon, who didn't learn it from Steachuzah. So we'd say v'nigal l'kreivim, just like regarding Bat Erechema, you cannot redeem it halfway, because we learn that from Steachuzah. So just like Steachuzah, you can't sell it, you can't redeem it halfway, but it could be redeemed by relatives. So to hear, or maybe then no, even according to Rabbanan, ki k'siv ge'ula. When does it say the redemption by the Steachuzah, by the ancestral field, which we're learning to Bat Erechema? That's bechatzayin hu d'chsev. It says it only by the inability to buy back halfway, because the words where it says over there is umatze kedei gulase, that if he finds sufficient for his redemption, which the drasha we had said was kedei kula v'lekedei chetze. The word kedei tells you it has to be the whole redemption, not the half redemption. So it's regarding that that we learn about the erechema from Steachuzah. B'kreivim like siv, but it doesn't say the word gulasai regarding the redemption of the relatives, and therefore, when we're learning Gzer Shava from Steachuzah to Bat Erechema, it's to learn only this one halacha regarding that you can't redeem it halfway, but not to teach that you could redeem it through relatives, because it's not there where it says gulasai. So that's the Gemara's question. Do we learn it totally from Steachuzah, and therefore the relatives could forcefully redeem it, or not? So he answered that Rav Shesha said that ain't a nigel. No, it cannot be redeemed through relatives. That the limud was only regarding that you can't do it halfway, but not that you could also redeem it through relatives. Now, that the Gemara asked Esvei, he asked from a braisa to Rav Sheshes, that it says a pasuk in Vayikra, it says, Bakoil, which the full pasuk says, Ubachoil eretz achuzaschem, and in the whole land which is your ancestral land, Geula titnu, redemption you should give, la'aretz for the land. Now, this is seemingly a superfluous pasuk, and it doesn't say what is it referring to. What there are already halachas specific that tell us that there should be redemption. What's this extra pasuk saying that throughout your land there should be a halacha of redemption? It says the Brisa l'rab is batim me'evet ivri. That's coming to teach us to include houses and Jewish slaves, that they should be redeemed through relatives, meaning to say part of the halacha of redeeming through relatives is said elsewhere. Here with this extra pasuk is coming to include other things that they could also be redeemed through relatives, specifically houses and Jewish slaves. So ask the Gemara and Rav Sheish, is my love about the Erechaim, what is this Brisa talking about, including houses? Isn't it including houses of walled cities? Which contradicts your answer. You said that it cannot be redeemed through relatives by Bata Erechaim. Yet seemingly here the Brisa says that it's included. So that Rav Sheish answers, Lo, Bata Chatzeim. It's actually reference to houses in open fields, in cities that were not surrounded with walls from the days of Yeshua ben Nun. Those are where the halach is, they can be redeemed through relatives, but not Bata Erechaim. Now that the Gemara asks, Bata Chatzeim Behedik Sebehu. But regarding houses in open cities, the pasuk explicitly already tells us al steha aritzi chashev, that on the fields of the land they should be considered. In other words, what are we comparing it to? Fields, meaning we already compared to a steachuz or to an ancestral field which could be redeemed through relatives. So the pasuk already does this. Why would we need this extra pasuk, which the Brisa is saying is including batim, to say batim chatzim, if the pasuk already elsewhere tells us it has the halacha like steachuz that we're going to gulas kreiv? So I think our answer is hahu lekoyve chayva. You're right. We already have a pasuk comparing from the open cities, Batei Chatzerim, to Stei Achuza, but that's only that in Rishus. This pasuk that we're quoting here in the Brisa is to say that it's obligatory on the relatives to have to redeem the Batei Chatzerim of their relatives. Ba'alibi Rabbi Eliezer is going like Rabbi Eliezer, who he holds that it's a chayva, it's an obligation. The time that we learn in the Brisa, which speaks about the halacha of Stei Achuza, says a pasuk in Biyikra, V'golas Memker Achav, that he will redeem which was sold by his brother. Says the Brisa, Rishus, that's something that he's permitted to do, which means to say generally a person doesn't have to. In other words, and he cannot, because who are you to forcefully buy back from this purchaser? So that's what the Brisa is saying, that we learn from the pasuk that, but there is it is permissible for the relative, just like the seller, to buy it back. Now, Atoim Rishos, says the Brisa, are you saying that it's something that's permissible? Or in Eilo Chayva, maybe it's actually an obligation on the relative. Tamalema, that's what the Pasuk teaches. The Pasuk says that a man that won't have a redeemer for him. Now, the difficulty with this is, V'chiyesh Adam B'Yisrael, is there a Jewish person from those that had took an inheritance in the land of Eretz Yisrael, which would exclude Gerim, She'en L'Goylem, that doesn't have redeemers from the children of Yaakov? But every single Jew, whoever's still alive, is going to be somewhat a relative the further back he goes. So someone's going to be a relative. So Ella rather says the Tanya, the Brisa, Zeshe Yeshle. It's a reference to someone, of course, that has a relative, a redeemer, but Ve'ena Roy Talikach, but it doesn't want to go ahead and purchase back this field from his relative that sold it to someone else. Now that's what the Pasuk's teaching, Yusherashus Beyada, that volition is in the hand of the relative where he has Rishus, but it doesn't have to, it's not an obligation. That's Divrei Rabbi Yeshua. Now Rabbi Yazaimer, he's the one that we're quoting, he says, no, V'golas Memker Achman, it says that he will redeem that which was sold by his brother. It's a chayv, it's an obligation. Now, says Rabbi Laza, Atoim Achayv, are you really going to say it's an obligation? Or Yein Yalu Rishos, maybe it's just something that's permissible. Tamalayim Abachol, so he quotes our pasuk we brought in this other Brisa, which is what Rav Sheish is coming to answer, that's going like Rabbi Laza, that it says in the pasuk, Bakol, with everything Geula Titnu, you should give a redemption. Which Akasav Kaveh Chayva, the pasuk is creating it as an obligation. Now, as Rashi explains, now this that it says in the pasuk, Ki lo yeh l'goyel, that he won't have a redeemer, what does he do with that pasuk? Because every person has a redeemer, and moreover has an obligation. He expounds it regarding when you have the closest relative just doesn't have money. He ain't l'goyel, meaning he just can't afford to redeem the field of his relative. And the halacha is that the redemption is only incumbent upon the closest relative, and that closest relative doesn't have. So that's what the pasuk is talking about, that he doesn't have a goal. So then you do whatever the pasuk is talking about. So that's the machlekes, where Yeshua says, yeah, he has no redeemer, means because he doesn't have to. Blood says, no, he has to, but it just would be talking about a case where he doesn't have the wherewithal, doesn't have the resources to redeem. So therefore, Rav Sheisha says, that's what it's talking about Batei Chatzerim. And even though another pasuk already tells us by Batei Chatzerim it can be redeemed through relatives, that's just saying that he could. Which the buyer can't hold back. But the fact that there's an obligation, that's learned out from the pasuk that the Brisa brings down of Koil Geula Titnu. Now, the Gemara asks, Amr le Rabban le Ravashi. Rabban said to Ravashi, Vamrle, and some say it was Ravina le Ravashi, Ravina said to Ravashi. According to, let's say, the questioner who was asking Rav Sheshes, who says that what this pasuk is coming to include, that the Braise had quoted before, is coming to include houses in the walled city. So we understand how the drasha is being learned out from this word bakul. Everything gets redeemed, which means to say, even though something we had not known up until now that gets redeemed with relatives, we're telling you a chiddush that everything, even bati erichema. But according to this interpretation of Rav Sheshes, who said that's going like a belazer, that said the only thing we're including are bati chatzerim, my bakul. What does the pasuk mean when it says with everything? It should just say in that pasuk, Gu'ula titnu la'aretz. Redemption should be given to the land, which would tell us the halacha of steachuza, that is an obligation. And of course, batei chatzim are included because the pasuk already considers and compares batei chatzim to steachuza. Why do we need bakoil as if it's including everything? We already know these inherent halachas. Just say another pasuk to say it's not just rishos, but rather chayva. So zimar kasha, it's a difficulty. It's not a refutation, but it's a difficulty. Why, according to that interpretation, which Rav Sheshes had answered, would I have to say the word bakoil? But the Gemara continues asking on Rav Sheshes, Isvi Abaya. Abaya asked Rav Sheshes from the following Braisa. The Braisa says, what do we learn out in the Psukim where it talks about by a Jewish slave that's sold to a non-Jew? It says, Yigaleno, that he'll redeem him, Yigaleno, he'll redeem him, Yigaleno, he'll redeem him. Give him a palm, it says it three times. What are these extra redemptions coming to teach us? Says the Braisa, L'rabo is kol ha-gu'ulais. It's coming to include all redemptions, meaning all those types of halachas that we've been mentioning. There's actually five of them. That the halacha is that they're allowed to be redeemed. They should be redeemed in the same order. Now the assumption of Abaya, the questioner, is meaning to say, what do you mean that order? Just like by the halacha of Eved Ivri that sold to a non-Jew, that's where the pasuk says that he has to be redeemed through relatives. So it's coming to include also regarding all these other halachas that the halacha of Geula, of Pidyon, applies to, that they're also redeemed by their relatives. Now, there are five times where it mentioned the Torah regarding redeeming. So you have the one that the Pasuk here is talking about by Ever Ivri, that's Nimkala Akum. Then you have Steachuza and Batechatzim, where they're already explained elsewhere that they're redeemed through relatives. So essentially, you're only left for two. You're left with my love, like the Gemara says, Bati Arachayma, Ve'Ever Ivri. You have the house of a walled city and the Jewish slave who sold to a Jew, where those halachas, they only talk about that there's a halacha of geula, of redeeming themselves, but it doesn't say that there's a mitzvah of relatives redeeming them. So if we're saying that these extra terminologies of yigaleno are coming to include that everywhere where it talks about geula, that it's going to be redeemed this same order, which meaning to say through relatives too, are including Bati Arachayma and Eved Ivri. Now like Rav Sheshes, who said that by Bati Arachayma, they're not going to be redeemed through relatives. So on that, the Gemara answers like, no, it's actually included Bati Chatzerim v'Steachuza. When the Braisa includes all other areas that they redeemed this way, it's including houses in open cities and the ancestral field. The Gemara asks, Bati Chatzerim v'Steachuza, Behedik said, we already know that it says explicitly regarding Steachuza, and also regarding Bati Chatzerim, as we mentioned before, it says Asteya Aretzi Chashiv, that we consider Bati Chatzerim just like Steachuza. And Steachuza already tells us regarding the lachas of being redeemed through relatives. So why would we need extra terminologies by Eved Ivri Hanim Kala Akum to include them? So I think my answer is no. Ked Amar Rav Nachman by Yitzchak, in another area he says this concept, which Gemara shortly is going to say where he says this concept, that's actually referring to a different halacha, meaning Steachuza and Bati Chatzerim, you're right, we know that they're redeemed through relatives. But what these extra terminologies of Yigaleno by Nim Kala Akum is coming to include us is another component of this halacha which we don't know from the context of Steachuza and Bati Chatzerim. Karav Kaidim. It's coming to tell us that the closest relative, he's the first online to go ahead, and that's the chronology where it's saying that Keseder Hazeh has to go according to this order, which we wouldn't know. Karav Kaidim. Here also, it's coming to teach us the halacha of the closest, it goes from the closest to the furthest relatives, because by Steachuza, it says, Uvo Goyla Karav, love it. Yes, it does say that the relative comes and redeems, but it doesn't say this halacha of Karav Kaidim, that the closest relative has the obligation, and then further along, where in contrast by Nimkala Akim, it says it explicitly. It says first his uncle, then it says that if he doesn't have an uncle, then it's Ben Doide, then is his uncle's son, and if not, then it says Mishay Bisari from all other relatives. So that's why it's not difficult to come to Rav Sheshes, because the pasuk is not, the Bryce is not coming to tell us regarding the Halach of Krivim, because then, yes, of course, it similarly would be included, but the Arachayma, which would not be like Rav Sheshes. Rather, it's coming to include the halacha of karav kaidim, and it's coming to include stei achuza and bater chatzirim, not regarding eved ivri and regarding bater rechem. Now, the Gemara asked, once we introduce this answer for Rav Sheshes, where was his context that he was talking about that is coming to tell you the halacha of karav kaidim, where we're saying that that's the same thing for our question, where it's not telling us the halacha of kraven in general, but rather the specific halacha of karav kaidim. So the Gemara tells the is regarding the following question. The question was, Eved Ivri Hanim Kali Yisrael, regarding a Jewish slave that sold to a Jew. And this is that other question, which we mentioned in that siman on the previous daf, which was these four questions. Nigel Lekraivim or Ein Nigel Lekraivim? Regarding a Jewish slave that sold to a Jew, could he be forcefully redeemed through relatives or not? So the Gemara explains the question. Aliv the Rebbe Loi Tibaylach. According to the opinion of Rebbe, definitely no question. Because the Amr that he says, as we mentioned on Tezvav Mabez, he says in his argument, he says, Misha ein nigel be'eila nigel b'sheish. Only those who are not redeemed with these, which the Pasuk there is talking about, a nimkala akim, which he's redeemed with eila, with relatives, says Rabbi, only those who are not redeemed with relatives, they're nigel b'sheish, in contrast to his opinion regarding nimkala akim, that he's not redeemed in by the sixth year. So says the Gemara, Almalei Mifrik. Obviously we see that according to Rabbi, that someone that's a Nimka Li Yisrael is not redeemed with relatives, because that was his whole argument. That's why a Nimka Li Yisrael is redeemed in the sixth year, in contrast to Nimka La'akim, who is redeemed through relatives, and therefore not redeemed in the sixth year. So, however, says the Gemara, Kiti Bayalach Lib Rabbanan. Your question would be, according to the opinion of the Rabbanan, who dispute Rabbi, my, what's the halacha? What would they hold? Would a Nimka Li Yisrael also be redeemed through relatives or not? The Gemara explains the question. Do we say Yalfin and Sacher? We learn out the Gzeri Shav, which we mentioned on previous Dafim, where it says the term Sacher by Nimkala Akim, it says the term Sacher, a hired hand, by someone that's sold to a Jew, where just like by Nimkala Akim is redeemed through relatives, so to Nimkala Yisrael. Moreover, Voloi Darshi Yigoleno, that obviously they then and they wouldn't expound the term where it says by Nimkala Akim, it says regarding the redemption of relatives, it says that they will redeem him, which sounds like it's coming to exclude someone else, seemingly a Nimkala Yisrael. So and they wouldn't be expounding that. So therefore, a Nimkal Yisrael would also be Nigal Lekraivim. Oidemor, maybe the Gemara says, Yigalenu Lazev, Oloi La'achar. Maybe they do expound that term Yigalenu, even though we have Gzeir Shava, but there's a specific exclusion when it talks about Nimkal Akim, says that they will redeem him and not a Nimkal Yisrael. We're there that it won't be Nigal Lekraivim. So what's the answer? So the Gemara says, Toshima, and it quotes again the previous braises in regards to this question. Says Bakoil regarding everything, Geula Titnu, that there should be a redemption. Again, the assumption is that a redemption regarding relatives. And that was the same discussion we had in the previous one regarding Bat Erechem. We're having the same discussion regarding an Eved Ivri and Nimkal Yisrael, which again, those are the two other questions we had of Bias and Eved regarding Kraven. So says the Bryce, the Larabas Batim the Eved Ivri. This comes to include houses and an Eved Ivri. Says the Gemara, my love, Bati Arachema, the Eved Ivri Nimkali Yisrael. Isn't it coming to include that there's halacha of being redeemed through relatives, where it doesn't say under a context regarding Bati Arachema and the Jewish slave who sold to a Jew? Says the Gemara, Loi, it's not referring to that. As we mentioned before, that Bayis is not Bati Arachema, it's Bati Chatzeres. And Eved Ivri Nimkali Oibi Kachavim, it's actually a reference not to an Eved Ivri Nimkali Yisrael, but rather a Jewish slave who sold to a non Jew. Ask the Gemara, Eved Ivri Nimkala Ivri Kachavim, regarding a Jewish slave sold to a non-Jew, Behad Yiksev Be, the Pasuk explicitly says the halacha of being redeemed through relatives, and it says in Mayikra, it says, Oy doy doy, oy ben doy doy yigalenu, or his uncle's son, should redeem him. So what do we need to have halacha b'chal gula, this extra Pasuk to say the halacha of redeeming by relatives, applying to Eved Ivri Nimkala Akim, if that the Pasuk explicitly says in the context of Nimkala Akim? So that the Gemara continues Amud Beis and says, Hahu, this extra pasuk of Bachal Geula Titnu, there the pasuk is coming to tell you Lekoy V'Chayva. Yeah, right. Of course, we know the halacha that relatives could redeem him, which we wouldn't have known if we didn't have the pasuk of Oy Doy Doy Ben Doy Doy Galeno. Here, the pasuk is coming to tell you that it's an obligation on them. Va'afela the Rebbe Yeshua, even according to Rebbe Yeshua. Meaning, although we mentioned previously regarding Machlekes Rebbe Lazar and Yeshua by someone that sells a Stei Achuza, where he holds it's actually a reshus for the relatives to redeem it, but not an obligation. Unlike Rebbe Lazar, here Rebbe Yeshua would agree that the pasuk is coming to tell you that it's an obligation, The reason for the difference is because they don't want the Jew to get assimilated as a slave by the non-Jews, and therefore he would agree regarding this interpretation of Bakol to include a Nimka La'akim, not a Nimka Li'Yisrael. Could be a Nimka Li'Yisrael does not have the halacha of being redeemed by relatives at all. But although we have a pasuk already telling you Nimka La'akim, here the pasuk coming to tell you that it's an obligation. So the Gemara says, Tashma, come in, let's try to bring a different raya, again from the Braisa from the previous discussion. Matam Malema, the Braisa says, what does it teach us in the context of a Yisrael that's Nimka La'akim as an evident? It says, Yigalenu, 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 Gimel Pam. It says three times that you'll redeem it. Why does it say three times? It says, the Braisa, L'Rabbis, Kala, Gula, comes to include all the halachas in the Torah that mentions regarding redemptions, Shinigalas, Kaseder, Azed, that they're redeemed in this order. Now, my lav, says the Gemara, isn't it coming to include but the erechaim of every nim kli yisrael, where they don't talk about the halacha of being redeemed by relatives? It just says by themselves. But it's coming to include that when someone sells a house in the walled city or a Jewish slave sold to a Jew, that he could also be redeemed through a yisrael or through a relative, which would answer the question if an eved ivri and nim kli yisrael could be redeemed through a relative. So the Gemara says loi batachad seim besadei achuz. It's actually coming to include a house in the open city and the ancestral field, which the Gemara asks, as we did in the previous discussion. Batachad seim behedik sibu. What do you mean? A house in the open city is explicitly said that it could be redeemed through relative, because it says alstei aretzi chashiv, that by on the open field will it be considered this house in the open city, which again we already told you by stei achuz that it could be redeemed through relatives. So how can you say that this extra terminology gelen is coming to include the halacha of gulis kroivim regarding Estei Achuza? On that, I'm Rav Nachman Yitzchak. This was the Rav Nachman Yitzchak that we had used for the previous Gemara's discussion regarding if a Bati Arachayma could be Negel Ekraivim, which we had used his answer, which was said originally in the context of an Eved Ivri Hanimka Li Yisrael. He says, L'Karev Karev Kaidim. What the Pasuk is coming to teach you regarding this halacha of Estei Chatzerim and Estei Achuza, you're right, it doesn't have to teach you the halacha of being redeemed by relatives, because that we know from elsewhere. It's coming to teach you the halacha of the order of relatives, that the closest relative goes first, then the next, and then the next. That's the halacha that we're learning out from here. And therefore, it's la'ifsha that's not resolved regarding this last question of an Ibri Hanim Kali Yisrael, if he could be nigal l'krev manat. And that concludes the four different discussions that we had restarting on the previous daf regarding two by Eved Ivri and Bati Erechayma, and one section regarding the halacha could be Nigel Chatzayin, and the other one, as we considered today, were regarding again Bati Erechayma and Eved Ivri, if they could be Nigel Ekraivim, if relatives could forcefully go to the purchaser and buy them back, both the Bati Erechayma and the Eved Ivri, Hanimkali Yisrael. Now the Gemara continues quoting from our Mishnah. Our Mishnah, again, we're speaking about these halachas that we've been discussing on the previous daf regarding an Eved, regarding a slave. So he said, regarding an Eved Ivri, v'hanirtza nikna biritzia, that the Eved Ivri, who wants to stay on more than the 6 years that he sold for, so he becomes what's called a nirtza. They pierce a hole in his ear, they drill a hole in his ear. So the way he's acquired to continue being an Eved Ivri, because it really expires at the sixth year, is through the ritzia itself. So the Gemara brings, like it says in the Pasuk in Shemais, it says, v'ratza adoyin nibes ozne b'mertzei v'gaymer, that his master will drill a hole in his ear with a drill. That's the actual kinyan for him to be continuing to be a slave. Now, the Mishnah continued, it says, how long is he going to be a slave for? For koines atzman, he acquires himself back from being a slave, b'yayvo, when he reaches the yevil year, and the b'misas ha'adun, when his master dies. So the Gemara brings the sources, the chsilik says in the Pasuk, it says, v'avadoy, that he will serve him, which tells us, v'loyas ha'ben v'loyas ha'bas, not the son or the daughter. So when his master dies, he goes free. And it says that he will serve him lo'ilam forever, and that means lo'ilam shel yevil, means the eternity, not for eternity, but rather of the term oilam, which is mentioned regarding the halach of yevil, which again we taught them in Tezvah Manalf, it can't mean forever, because the Pasuk already tells us, b'shavt mishalach uzasli, every man goes back to his ancestral home, which obviously means to say that the Eved Ivri goes free in all circumstances, rather it means lo'ilam shel yevil. Something more continues in the halachic kinyanim of this halach of nirtza. Tan Rabban Lint Nabraisa. It says in the Pasuk Marzeya regarding it being an awl. Now, Ainli Ela Marzeya, I would only know that it's that type of a drill, which is an awl, that could be used to create the kinyanim in the nirtza. Menayin L'Rabbis Hasol. How do I know to include, it's a sharp piece, a pointy piece of wood, or v'hasira, or a thorn, or a machat, or a needle, or a magdeach, which is some type of a tool that's out of iron, which they would drill into make a hole in a piece of wood, which is called an auger. Or v'hamachtev, or regarding a stylus, which is they would carve into their ledgers, which was not paper, but they were able to take a sharp tool and write in by engraving it inside of it. How do we know that all these sharp tools could be used to make the hole in the Eved Ivri's ear to make him into a nirtza? Tamalem b'lekach, the Sefer Pasuk teaches that you will take l'rabas kol dovah shenikach b'yad, that comes to include anything that's taken in the hand that could be used to make a hole in his ear, that's also valid. Divrei Rabbi Yisrael Rabbi Yehuda, that's the opinion of Rabbi Yisrael Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda, he disagrees. He says, Ma marzeyu miyuchad shal matlis, just like this marzeya, this all, is distinct that it has to be metal. Af kol shal matlis, also everything that's metal, could be used, but not a thor, not all these other things that are not metal, they cannot be used to make the hole in the Eved Ivri's ear. Dava acher, another interpretation says the Braisa, says hamartzeya, the all, lehevi hamartzeya ha-gadol, that comes to include the large all, which the Gemara later is going to explain where do you see that from this halacha. Now, Amr Belazar says, Yudin beribi ha-yudarish. Yudin, which was his name, and he was a great person, a gadol hadar, a great person of the generation, where whenever it says the term beribi, it's a terminology of wisdom and of sharpness. So he would expound, and he said, Kishein Reitzim, when they would make this hole in the Eved Ivri's ear, Ein Reitzim Ela B'melsa, said they would only make this hole in the earlobe, where it's fleshy, and not in the tenuch, where there's cartilage. Now, V'chacham Aymrim, they say, they disagree on Reb Yudin Beribi, and their proof is because we know there's a halacha that Ein Eved Ivri Koyin Nirtza, a Jewish slave who is a Koyin, does not have this halacha of having a hole bored in his ear. Now, the reason for this is Meneshan Nasa Bamun, because he then becomes a blemished Kayin, and he can't go back to his original positioning, which is a Kayin, to do that void in the Beis HaMikdash, which the Gemara later on is going to explain to us, where it says in the Pasuk, Veshavim Mashpachter, it goes back to his family, which is Lemuchzik Shemashpachter. It goes back to his original status that he had in his family, which he would be losing if he becomes a Bamun. Now, says the Chachamim, Ve'im Toime B'mil Sehim Reitzim, now, if you would entertain that you're saying, Reb Yudin Beribi, that the way they bore a hole in his ear is only by his earlobe. Heich Eved Ivri Koyin Yasa Balmum. How is it that you're saying that the Koyin would ever be a Balmum, which that's the whole halacha that it's based on why we don't do Ritzia for the Koyin? But the Mishnah in Bechayri, Stav Lamazayin and Manav teaches us that regarding the blemishes of a Koyin, it says that he only becomes a Begam if it's in the part of the cartilage. But if it's just in the skin, then there's not. Ha, so therefore, say the Chachamim, what you learn from this is that Einirtze Elu B'Goy V'Shalayzen, obviously, the Ritzia happens in the higher part of the ear, which would make a mum, because it's not just in the skin, it is in the cartilage. Therefore, you see that it must be that the Ritzia is on the top, and that's why the Kohen Eved Ivri doesn't get Ritzia, because it was in the lower part, why wouldn't he get Ritzia? It wouldn't make him into Baal Mum anyway. That's the Braisa. Now the Gemara asked, but my Kamiflike, going back to the first Machalik is mentioned the Braisa, what's Machlekes Rabbi Yisrael Yehuda and Rebbe regarding can you use a thorn, can you use this piece of wood, where according to Rabbi Yisrael Yehuda you could, according to Rebbe it has to be just metal. What's the crux of their Machlekes? So the Gemara explains it's a universal Machlekes. The Rebbe Dorish Kloli Uprati. Rebbe, throughout the Torah, always expounds regarding what's called a general principle and a specific principle. Where, in other words, whenever you have a general concept and a specific, Rebbe expounds it in the way that the prat, the specific, is the explanation, is the elucidation of the general concept. And therefore, as it says in the Braisa Rebbe Shmuel, that it's ein b'chlal elamasha b'prat. Whenever you have a klal and a prat, you don't have in the general rule only what you see in the specific. Now, when it's then chazah b'chlal, when it goes back and it has a klal and a prat and then another klal, then the last klal is only coming to add on to you what's called doima l'prat, what's at least not only what's in the prat, because then you wouldn't need the last klal, but rather has to be at least be similar to and analogous to what's in the specific. So therefore, the Gemara explains. It says, the lekach that you will take, which is klal, it's a general, whatever you take to make the hole in the ear. Then it says, marzeya, an all, which that's prat, that's a specific thing you should take. Then it says, ba'azna ubadel, it says that you should put it in his ear and in the door. Chazav akal, it doesn't say what you're putting in his ear. That, again, is a general thing. So, klal u'prat u'klal, you have a general statement, a specific statement, then a general statement. So that halacha is iyata dan elikena prat. So then you could only classify what's at least similar to the specific, which according to Rabbi tells us mahaprat nefurah shel mateches, just like the specific all is something made out of metal. Of kol shel mateches. So to everything, whatever you're going to make the hole in the zera has to be made out of metal. Whereas Rabbi Yesi, and therefore it excludes the thorn, it excludes this the soul. Whereas Rabbi Yesi darish ribuye umi ute. He expounds the Torah in a different framework, rather what's called ribuye, inclusionary terms, and miute, which are exclusionary terms. And the prat, the specific, is not explaining the klal, to say that, like Rebbe had said, ein b'chlal el mashma prat. Rather, the prat is coming to exclude something. Because just from the klal, from the general statement, we would include everything. Now, then the miut, which comes after it, is coming to say that to exclude something from that general statement. Now, therefore, even if you didn't have a klal after that miut, we would have already told you it has to be something like ke'en ha-prat, which is what you only know according to the halacha of klal prat klal. But when you have riba and miut, you already know that just from the riba and miut, because the riba is really including everything. Miut is saying, okay, stuff like this. Now, when then you go ahead and you have another ribui, miut, and ribui, you really riba ha-kol, you're really including everything. Because to say ke'en ha-prat, that you really knew even without the second ribui. So then if you're including everything, then that means to say that miut was really only excluding one thing. Now, what is that one thing? That was given over to the interpretation of the sages to say what was fit to be excluded from the klal, which since it's sandwiched between these two ribuim, it's really including everything. And that's what a miut is. Miut is excluding somewhat of the understanding of what's included in the general concept of ribuy, of including everything. So therefore, according to the interpretation goes as follows. It says in the pasuk v'lekachta that you will take riba, that includes everything, whatever you take to make the hole in his ear. Marze, when it says in all, that's miut, that's excluding. Now, ba'aznei ubadalas, when it says then in his ear and in the door, chaza v'riba, it goes and includes everything again. So, as we said, riba and miut v'riba, when you have an inclusionary term, an exclusionary term, then inclusionary term, really riba hakol, is really including everything you want to take. My riba, what's including? Rabba kol mili, it's including everything. Now then my miut, but it says a specific, it says an exclusionary term, it says an all. So what's that coming to exclude? Now, because not saying it has to be like the all, because that would know even without the second ribuy. So rather miut sam, when it says a specific, it's not saying as specific as classifying and qualifying, it's just saying not everything. What's not everything? You can't use some type of a potion or a poison or a cream, that you can't put that on the ear, which then it will make a hole in his ear, because that's not at all similar to the Marzeya, which what the Marzeya was telling us, that what is being included is something that has to make a hole through human push, and not that happens by itself, which would happen by Isam, where it itself is doing it, not the human. That's what you're excluding from the Marzeya, but a thorn and the soul, of course, they're all included in Halacha of Riba Mit Ribui to be used to create the Ritzua in the Eved Ivri. Now, Amamar, the Tana the Baisa had brought that it says, HaMarzeya, the Marzeya, Lehevi Marzeya Agod, that comes to include the large all. So the Gemara says, my mashma, how do you see that from the Pasuk? So the Gemara says, Kedama Rava, like Rava says in different contexts, in Perget Hanosha and Chulin Dav Tzadim and Beis. Rabbi Huda says that the loch of Gid Hanosha only applies to one of the thighs, which he said, Hadas Machras, he says it's more logical to say that it's the right one. Now, where does he know it from? So Rava explains it's from the hay of Hayarech, the thigh, where it talks about the Gid, the sinew that was Nosha that jumped when Yaakov had the fight with the Malach of Esav. That's why we don't need to get Hanosha. Now it says, Hayarech, the thigh, Hamiyumenesha beyarech. The right one, the more prominent one of the thighs. Because it's expanded Hayarech, the more chashav one in the thighs, which is always the right. So Achanami Hamartzeh, here also we learn that a similar drasha where it says, the all, Miyuchat Shebe Matzan, the more distinct one of the alls, which is the large one. That's what we see from the pasuk that could also be used regarding the Ritzua of the Eved Ivri. Now we mentioned the Braisa too, that Amr Belazar Belazar said that Yud Meribi HaYudarish, the great Yudin, he would expound that Kashen Reitzin, when they would do the Ritzui in the Eved Ivri, in Reitzin El B'Milsa. It's only done in the fleshy part of the earlobe, and not in the cartilage. With V'Chachamayim, they said, and they disagree, and their proof was, Ein Eved Ivri Kayin Nirtza. We say the halacha is that a Kayin, who's a Jewish slave, doesn't get Ritzua. Why? Nation Nasa Balmum, because it becomes Balmum, and that's where the Champrut, obviously, that means to say it's in the upper part of the ear, because on the ear part, where earrings are put, that wouldn't create a mum in the Kayin. Now the Gemara, however, asks, on the Chacham, well, how do we understand this halacha? V'yasa Balmum. Let the kohen every day become a balmum, become blemished. Why does that bother us? There's a mitzvah of doing ritzua. So good, so he'll become a balmum. But that's what the halacha of ritzua requires. Why do we say that he's excluded from that halacha? So that Amar Rabbi Rav Shila, he says, Amakra, because the pasuk says in Yikra, Vishav el mishpachtoi, that the Eved Ivri, after everything's said and done, when it comes to the Yevil year, he'll go back to his family, which tells us, Lemuchzik shebe mishpachtoi. He has to go back to his original status that he had beforehand, which, if he's going to become a Nirtza, the Kohen is not, because he's going to be a Balmum, and he can't do that void anymore, and therefore the pasuk excludes him from the Halacha of Ritzua. Now the Gemara continues with a related discussion that will come back to what we were discussing, the following question. Eved Ivri Kohen. Regarding a Kohen, again, that's an Eved Ivri. What's the halacha? As we said, there's halacha unique to an Eved Ivri, although a man, Jewish man, is not allowed to marry a non-Jewish woman. However, a Shivcha Kenanis, although she's forbidden to a Jewish man, a Jewish slave to a Jewish master, his master could give him a Shivcha Kenanis to have children so that he could have more avodim and shivchis. So the halacha, the question that the Gemara is posing is, what's the halacha regarding if the Eved Ivri is a Kayan? So the Gemara explains the question. Do we say chidushu? The whole thing is a novelty that the Torah permits a shivcha kananis to Yisrael, and therefore leishna kanam leishna Yisrael. Therefore, there shouldn't be any difference because any Jewish man it's forbidden. So, if we're permitting a Jewish man, we should permit a Jewish kohen too. Aydil mashan the kanam, or the Gemara says no. Maybe kanam are different. Why? Ha'avaribehen hakasim mitzisers. The pasuk has many more mitzvahs that apply to a kohen than to a regular Jewish man regarding the lachas of tumah, who they're allowed to marry. So maybe that the Rebbe would only be for a regular Jewish Eved Ivri, but not for an Eved Ivri that's a Kohen. So the Gemara says, it's a machlekes. Rav Amma Mutta, Rishmul Amma Asa, Shmul says it's forbidden. Now, Amma Rav Nachman, Rav Anna, Rav Nachman said Rav Anna. I don't understand. Kavisu Beimar Shmul, when you, Rav Anna, were by the yeshiva of Shmul, Beiskumadri Italilsu, were you just busy playing games all day? Well, you weren't paying attention to analyze the teachings that were being told to you, and rather you were like these boys who were just playing with these kugelach, these broken pieces of wood. In other words, my time olay timrulei miha. Why didn't you answer to Shmuel, who said that it's forbidden for a kohen Eved Ivri to have a shivcha kananis being given to him from this brisa that we mentioned before? We said v'chachamaim, and they said ein Eved Ivri kohen nirtza, which again everyone seemingly agrees to the halacha that a Jewish slave cannot have nirtza. Why? Because then he becomes a balmum, and we said he has to be able to go back to his previous status, which he's going to lose when he becomes a balmum. Says Rav Nachman to Rav Anan, "V'im taima." Now, if you would entertain, like Shmuel had said, that ain't Rabbi Moshe Shivcha Kananis, that the master cannot give him a Shivcha Kananis, then the question is, why do I need the Chacham to tell us that the reason why he cannot become a nirtza is because he's going to become a balmum? But it sounds like without that, then he would be able to have Ritzia, but typically to Be'ina, there's another very basic reason why he can't become a Nirtza. Because the Pasuk says, when the Eved Ivri says, I know I was only supposed to be a slave for 6 years, I want to stay on. So he says, why do I want to stay on? Ahavti es adoni, I love my master, es ishti, my wife. Which wife? Not his regular wife, because that he doesn't have to stay a slave for. It means his Shifcha Kananis wife, ves boni on my children, veleka. According to Shmuel, you don't have that. According to it, when it's talking about Kohen Eved Ivri. So forget about the fact of that he can't have Nirtza because he can become Balmum. He can't have it because he won't say the Pasuk that's required for the Eved Ivri to say why he's staying on. And the Gemara concludes, Besulei Midi. There's no more to say about this. You can't respond that it's obviously a refutation of the Pinya Shmuel. Obviously, the halach has to be like Rav, that an Eved Ivri Kohen could be given over Shivcha Kananis, and therefore he would be able to say this pasuk. Rather, it's like the Chacham said, is because the reason why he can't get Nirtza is because then he become a Balmum. Now, a similar type of a questioning regarding the differentiation of a Kohen Eved Ivri and a regular Eved Ivri, the Gemara says, Ibailhu, that the following question, Kohen, regarding a Kohen who is forbidden to marry a Geyeris, even though she became a Jewish woman, but previously she was non-Jewish, because we give her the status as a Zayna, because the non-Jewish women are not as discreet as a Jewish woman. The question is, what's the halacha regarding this unique halacha mentioned in the Torah of, in Parashat Ki Tzeitse, of the beautiful maiden that was conquered by the Jewish army in war, where the Jewish soldiers allowed to take this non-Jewish woman as a wife? What's the halacha regarding Kahanim? As the Gemara explains the question, do we say chidishu, just like we said regarding the previous Gemara's discussion of a shivcha kananis for Eved Ivri? So to hear, the halacha of Yifas Tayr is a novelty, because a Jewish man is not usually allowed to marry a non-Jewish woman. So therefore, loishna kohen, loishna yisrael. Therefore, and we permit it to the Jewish man. So there's no difference between the kohen or yisrael. Or again, as the Gemara asked before, maybe kohen are different. Since there are more mitzvahs that apply to a kohen, and also regarding marriage, and therefore maybe that would apply regarding the kedushas of kohen, regarding yifas tari, that would also similarly be forbidden. So again, as we mentioned in the previous Gemara's discussion, it's also machlokes Rav and Shmuel. Rav Amar Muta, he says permitted, as the Gemara will shortly explain. Shmuel Amar Asa, he says it's forbidden. So the Gemara explains their machlokes. The Biri Shaina, says the Gemara, regarding the first cohabitation that the Jewish soldier does with this beautiful maiden of this other nation, the Kula Amar Lepliga Deshari, says the Gemara that everybody, even Shmuel, would agree that would be permitted, even for the kohen. Why? The Loi Dibra Torah, because the Torah wasn't talking about it. They said the Torah permitted the Jewish soldier to take this beautiful woman. Ela Keneged Yitzhara. It was only telling that it's permitted because of the evil inclination that a person has. Because if the Torah wouldn't permit it, a person would violate the prohibition of having relations with a non-Jewish woman. As the Gemara teaches us later on, it says in the Pasuk, Yifas Torah, that's what it calls her, the beautiful woman of form, which because the evil inclination is seducing you. Therefore, you got to have the same concerns for the kohen that for his evil inclination, and maybe he's going to come to violate it. So therefore, the Torah permitted he's a human just as much as another regular Jewish man. So therefore, it's permitted for him too. Ki pligi bebiya shniya, says the Gemara, their whole machlikus was regarding this second time having cohabitation. We already calmed down. He saw that it wasn't all that it was supposed to be. He gets all hot-blooded for the first time. But after that, it's not such a big deal anymore. That's where the machlikus Rav and Shmuel is. Rava mamute Rishmula Ma'asa. Rav says permitted, Shmuel says asr. Why? Rava mamute Hailva Ishtri Ishri. There's a concept in Halacha mentioned. Once something is permitted, it's permitted. The Torah said that it's permitted for the Kayin to the Yifas Torah, so it's permitted. And since permitted for the first time, so it's permitted now forever. Rishmula Ma'asa, but Shmuel says forbidden. Why? Dahavi la Giyaris, because ultimately this woman is a convert, meaning it's a forceful conversion. That's the Halacha of Yifas Torah. But ultimately, she's a convert. Ugiyaris l'kayin l'chazia. And as we mentioned before, a convert is forbidden to a kayin. He has to marry a Yisraelis because or else she's considered like a zayna. And the zayna is forbidden to a kayin, even a kayin hated forever. So there, Shmuel says it's forbidden. That's one interpretation of their machlokes. Ikudami, that those that say that actually, b'biyashnir kula amaloi pligidas sira. Regarding the second time of cohabitation, everyone agrees that it would be forbidden, even Rav. Because ultimately she's a convert and that's forbidden to a kohen. Ki pligi bebi rishayna. Their whole machlokes is regarding the first time, where Rav Amamote, he says, is permitted, as we said in the previous discussion, which in that discussion everyone was agreeing to this concept. The holy dibur Torah l'kenegid yitzhara. Why was the Yifas Torah permitted in the first place? Because of a person's inclination. Now, kohen is just as same inclinations as the non-kohen, and therefore if we permit it for the non-kohen, we permit it for the kohen too. Whereas the Shmuel Amar Asa, Shmuel says, no, it is forbidden. Why? Kol Heichad de Karina Be, because whomever we say the Pasuk that tells us, Ve'efisal Teich Be'isecha, the Pasuk says, what do you do with the Yifas Torah? You can't just do what you want and just leave her. You have to bring her into your house, meaning you have to maintain her as a wife. So therefore, regarding such a person, is Karina Be Ve'isa B'shivya. Regarding such a person, did we say that you could see her in the captivity, and for you it's permitted to take the woman that, in your eyes, looks something that you would want? That's regarding a non-kain. But kol heichad lekarina be vesal teich beisecha, whoever you don't apply, bring it into your house, because in the second version, everyone agrees the second bia would be forbidden. So then, lekarina be v'yisa b'shivya, so that when you don't apply, there's a loch of seeing a beautiful woman and just taking her, doing what you want, and then being done with her, that you can't do. The Torah understands the psychology of a person where make her into a wife, do her, treat her like a princess, and then see what you're going to do. You can't just go ahead and do what you want to do and then be done. So therefore, says Shmuel, it's actually forbidden for the kohen even the first time around, because Re'isa B'Shivya only allows if you'll have a Vesal B'Teich B'Secha. Whereas Rav says that no, because it's regarding the Yetzirah, and although he can't maintain her, but the Torah permitted even for a kohen. That's Machlekes Rav and Shmuel. Now, continuing on these halachas, the Gemara says, Tarnaban Ulinda Braisa. This expounds the Pasuk in Devarim Chaf Aleph Yad Aleph, where the Pasuk says, that you'll see in captivity a woman of beautiful form, and you'll desire her, and you'll take her for yourself as a wife. So the Braisa takes apart every single letter of this pasuk and expounds a halacha component of this. So the Braisa says, it says that you'll see in captivity, so the Braisa explains, b'shas shivya, if it's during the time of captivity. In other words, if originally in war, when they're conquering the lands, and he saw her right away, then is where he wanted her. Meaning it's coming to exclude where, let's say he originally took her to sell her or to use her as a maidservant. And then he's like, not bad, maybe she'd be good as a wife. Then, says the Braisa, no, that wouldn't qualify. It's only if originally his intention was for Isha's purposes. Then the Pasuk then says that you'll see in captivity in Ashes. It doesn't say Isha, it says Ashes, which sounds like the wife of someone. Tells us, Afila Ashes says it's permitted, even if she was a married woman to this non-Jewish man, you could still take her in this halacha. When it says that you see an Ashes Yifas Tayer, a woman of beautiful form, which you see from the Pasuk over here, that the reason of why the person even wants her in the first place is because his inclination is seducing him, enticing him because of her beauty. So the Pasuk, with great difficulty, so to speak, permitted him because loydibra Torah el keneged yitzahara, that really the Torah is only talking in regards to a person's inclination, which, as the Brice explains, mutiv sheyechlu Yisrael, it's better for a Jewish person to consume, and it's using it more in the metaphorical, baser, a piece of meat, as we continue to talk about, of tumusais, that are shchutais, of dying animal, which is at least slaughtered, whereas Rashi tells us that even though that's considered repulsive for a Jewish person, as it teaches the Pasuk in Yechezkel, b'leibo b'fi baser pigel, which the Gemara elsewhere darshins in Masechet Shchul and in other places, which is a reference to the animal was dying, which already somewhat could be nevela type, but it's not, it's still kosher, but it's still considered repulsive. But on that is what the Torah is telling you, although obviously a non-Jewish woman taking her is inappropriate, but better have that in a permitted way where it didn't yet die yet, this animal, because you slaughtered it, val yechlu basa temusis, but that the Jewish person should not eat a dead piece of an animal, meaning after it died, and that it's going to be nevelis, is going to be an animal of a corpse, where that's totally forbidden. Therefore, that's what we're making this comparison, meaning if we're not going to make this permitted, which although it's repulsive, but it's still permitted to take the Yifas Torah, then they can actually do it in violation, which is going to be much worse. That's why the Torah permitted the halacha of Ishas Yifas Torah. Now, the Pasuk then continues, it says, V'chashakta, and you'll desire her, which what you see from the Pasuk is that it's making it contingent on a person's desire, which afa pisha ena no, even though objectively she's not beautiful, but since subjectively he has that desire, so that's what the Pasuk is permitting. And it's not, the qualification doesn't have to be that she's beautiful. Then it says that he'll desire ba and har, which tells the v'loy ba u'b'chavertim, not har and our friend. You can't take two of them. You can only take one woman. Then it says that v'lekachta, that you will take, which tells you l'kuchin yesh l'chaba, that you have l'kuchin, which is a reference to kiddushin, meaning that kiddushin says ki'ikach ish isha, when a man will take a woman, tells you that kiddushin is typhus in this isha zifas tari. In other words, although that she's really a non-Jewish woman, because she's not converting willingly, it's part of the process that we do, still Kedushin is going to be Taifetz, it's a full-fledged Kedushin. And the Pasuk ends off that you will take L'chal Le'isha for you for a wife, which is Shalayikach Shtei Nashim, that in other words, he shouldn't take two wives, meaning for himself, we already know he can't, meaning, but he can't take two women, Achas Le'va Achas La'aviv, one for himself and one for his father, or Achas Le'va Achas La'b'nai, or one for himself and one for his son. Then the beginning of the next Pasuk says, V'havesa, that he will bring her, which says that he'll bring her into his house, and he'll do the whole procedure, that he'll shave off her head, and so on and so forth. So that's what the Braisa says, this teacher that he shouldn't press her in the war, meaning he shouldn't have cohabitation with her, according to Rashi, in the wartime. That's what the Pasuk is then teaching. You have to go through all these procedures to qualify for the halacha of Yifas Torah. And that's what the Gemara introduced this, because this was regarding the previous Gemara's discussion, regarding that we had segued, regarding a Kayin, if he's different than a regular Jewish person that's non-Kayin, regarding the halachas of Ebed Ivri, about getting a Shefcha Kananis, and also regarding this question, regarding the halachas of Yifas Torah, which again is where we wanted to prove this point, regarding if the Kayin should be different or not, which we had a machlik is Rav and Shmuel, because of this halacha of, since the Torah is Dibur Keneged Yitzhar by Yifas Torah, so seemingly like Rav had said, which according to the verse version, everyone agreed by the Be'er Rishayna, that there shouldn't be any difference, because the Kayin has the same Yitzhara as a Yisrael.